Certainly want to thank each of you for coming this morning. Thank you for coming, for showing your support to the family as we together grieve the loss, as we remember a life well lived, and as we celebrate the homecoming. I invite you to bow your heads for prayer as we seek the Lord's blessing on our gathering here. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in this hour. We thank you, precious Lord, that you want to be present. We come to you in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for the outstretched arms that have nail-scarred hands that we believe have welcomed Fanny home. Thank you for that. And so, precious Lord, as we grieve the loss and celebrate the life, we ask, simply entreat your presence here. We believe that your presence here can meet us, each one individually, at our point of need. And so we just open ourselves to you and just ask that you would pour out your blessing. We ask for your blessing, even as it seems that the whole earth is weeping while heaven is rejoicing. So we ask your presence here. We believe and trust that you will provide grace to go through this day, through this time, through this moment. And we cast our cares on you. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Stormy waters all around me, waves are rough and rolling high,
but amidst it all
I plainly see there's the fairest of all havens, and the keeper is my pride.
'Tis the rock of ages,
left for me, for even me.
Stormy waters round me,
thunders roll,
loud the thunders roll.
How the mighty billows
toss my soul, Lord, I find sweet comfort.
When I look and see,
'tis the rock of ages,
left for me, for even me. Not a moment spent in slumber, restlessly I sail along.
Then my Savior dear,
is my sad plea. Soon the ocean waves are peaceful, and my heart breaks forth in song.
'Tis the rock of ages,
left for me, for even me.
Stormy waters round me,
thunders roll,
loud the thunders roll.
How the mighty billows
rock my soul.
Toss my soul, Lord, I find sweet
comfort.
When I look and see,
'tis the rock of ages,
left for me, for even me. Now the homeland I am nearing, harbor lights come into view,
and the welcome bell.
and the welcome bells ring out so free, ring out so free. Just a few short days of sailing, then I'll have a life that's new.
'Tis the rock of ages,
rock of ages,
left for me,
for even me.
Stormy waters round,
stormy waters round me,
thunders roll,
loud the thunders roll.
How the mighty billows,
how the mighty billows roughly toss my soul. Lord, I find sweet comfort,
Lord, I find sweet comfort,
when I see,
when I look and see.
'Tis the rock of
ages, ages,
rock of ages,
cleft for me,
for me.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther
Have you prayed for a loved one struggling hard with pain? You asked the Lord for healing, yet their healing never came. And in spite of all your effort, the good Lord called them home. And it's hard to let go when you're trying to hold on. Now you're down in the valley looking up to the sky. You pray, Lord, you know what's best, but I don't understand why. But if you could hear your loved one speaking now to you, they'd say you wouldn't be grieving if you only knew. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm in the arms of Jesus. I'm not suffering anymore. Hand in hand, we'll stroll together down heaven's avenue. Oh, what a celebration, if you only knew. Things look much brighter from heaven's view. Here the sun always shines. We're having a time, if you only knew. If you only knew, I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered. My sickness is gone. Things look much better from heaven's view. The sun always shines. We're having a time. If you only knew.
Reading from Revelation 1, verse 4. I'd like to address that to all of us, and especially to the family. John was writing this. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." I said that from memory, and I said it wrong. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. And the ruler over all the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us kings and priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, and that's our hope, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, as we pause in your presence this morning, we do so with fear and trembling. We bow our hearts and our heads before you. You who are the creator of life, you have brought Fanny into this world. You have blessed her life. You who have led her through all her years and have now called her home. And we thank you, Lord, for her family. Thank you for each one here. And thank you for the blessed hope and the blessed assurance you give us this morning. And we just pray, Lord, that our hearts would be drawn to you through your Holy Spirit, that you would meet the need of each heart that is here, especially minister to the needs of the family, to the needs of Brother Mervyn especially, and each one of the family, Lord. We look forward to being with you and to joining you and Fanny, Lord. We believe whenever you call us home, but Lord, may our hearts be lifted up as we worship you in Jesus' name, amen. You know, a service like this brings so many mixed emotions, doesn't it? And I felt it in the songs that were sung and in the memories, as we talked about the memories. On the one hand, on the one side, there are those of us who are here who are still earthbound. And we see the casket. We see death in front of us. And we see and feel the finality of death, the reality of it. And it is so final, isn't it? You will never see your wife anymore, Mervyn, here. You will never see your mother, your grandmother. We will never see her in church, never see your sister again. So final. And it brings so much sadness and grief. And yet, and so we, our hearts go out to you. I've never lost my wife. I've lost parents. So there's grief and finality. And I just pray that God would comfort your hearts today and in the coming days. And I pray that our church can reach out to you in comfort too. And our community. But on the other hand then, what we read in Scripture, what we sing about, what we talk about, what we believe in our hearts, is that there is another side. And that other side this morning is, I think, what we want to emphasize. And so we know that what we see here isn't Fanny. Not at all. It's the house she lived in. But she's gone. She doesn't laugh. She doesn't smile. This body that's here, there is no response. And so we remember that. But just let's remember, Fanny is not here. And so that's what gives us hope. The Bible says, the Spirit returns to God who has given it. And so life, death is so much like a door, isn't it? And we're together with that person like Fanny. She knew she was going to leave. And she was entering the door. And her loved ones could be at her side. But there was a certain point then when everyone had to step back and she went through that door herself and the door was shut. And we can't go to her. And the Bible says that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And there's none of us that look forward to die. But I believe we, all of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Lord, we look forward to being with him forever. And that's the hope that we share this morning with you. And that's what we want to honor the Lord this morning, who has given breath to Fanny and who gave her a love for singing. And I hear the family talking about that a lot. She loved to sing. She trained her children to sing. She loved flowers. She loved birds. She loved beautiful things. Those are all wonderful things. And she loved to minister to those in need, to those in prison, to those less fortunate, to those who needed parents. Her heart reached out to those people. God gave her those gifts. God gave her the strength to minister to those people. But most of all today, we want to honor him who did that work in Fanny's life. You know, we want to honor him who redeemed Fanny, who washed Fanny in his own blood. And you know, that's, you know, in a crowd like this, it's a special time. Every time I go to a service like this, you know, it stops us in our tracks and it helps me think, where am I going? Why am I living? Is life just doing the next urgent thing that I need to do? Is what I am doing, is it counting for eternity? It can be. Doesn't matter if I'm busy. But you, as well as I, know how easy it is to get caught up with the cares of life. And the time of death is an ideal time to stop and saying, what is it all about? And to remind ourselves, there are two destinations. We all have an appointment, all of us. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. It is an appointment that none of us can escape, except that the Lord Jesus would return before we die. So that appointment is sure. Two possible destinations, two possible roads. There's a narrow road, the wide road. There is death. There is life. There is everlasting damnation or everlasting joy. Either we choose to follow our Lord Jesus, or we cast our lot with the enemy of our souls. It's that clear. And so a time like this is an ideal time to say, where am I headed to? Why am I living? Paul said it well when he said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Most of us have a difficult time with saying dying is gain. But I hope we can at least, that our passion is, our desire is, that our purpose in life is our Lord Jesus. To serve him faithfully because of what he has done for us. He who washed us, he who lives in our hearts, and that we wholeheartedly and gladly give our hearts, our lives, our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that we can reflect his love and his grace and his peace and his mercy to those around us. Like we believe that Fanny did and like we've heard that. That's what we want to learn from Fanny's life. And that's what we can be inspired towards as we look at the provisions that God has made for us in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to bring life and to bring abundant life, not drops of life, abundant life. And that's why we don't sorrow, we don't grieve as those who are without hope. Because we know that if we believe in, we have cast our lot with our Lord Jesus, and we're looking forward to his return, then we have the wonderful hope of the resurrection that we can be with him forever, and we can join Fanny and all those who have gone on before who have lived their lives in him. That's the blessed hope, and that's what I want to leave with you as a family. And I, with each one of us, that it's not in the first place what we see with our physical eyes. We see through a glass darkly, but let our eyes be open to the reality of our Lord and what he has prepared for those who love him and are waiting his coming. And may you be comforted with these words. Remember, Jesus did not come to bring death. He came to bring life and to bring it in abundance. And may he comfort your hearts today for his glory. Let us again, for those of you who care to, you want to stand and we'll pray. We bless you, God and Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, for the blessed hope you have given us. And we pray your blessing upon the remainder of the service, that your Spirit would minister your life to us, and that our hearts can be drawn to you, and that you can have your way and also minister in a very special way to the family here, to Brother Mervyn and each one. We give you thanks because you have washed us, you have cleansed us, and you've risen from the dead, and you're coming again. And Lord, help us to see you with our eyes of faith, and we trust in you. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen. You may be seated.
Turn with me to number 648. Number 648. What a fellowship, what a joy divine.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine.
Number 709. I am looking for the city.
Inviting the world to come.
'Tis the glory now that fills and thrills my soul as I walk the narrow way. I am looking for the heavenly light to dawn that shall rise in endless day. Oh, the glory gates are ever open wide, inviting the world to come. Oh, the glory gates are ever open wide to welcome the weary
Fanny Yoder died peacefully in her home, surrounded by family. On December 9, 2014, she was 81. Fanny was born February 10, 1933, to Jerry J. and Amanda Mullett Yoder in Weatherford, Oklahoma. Most of her growing up years were spent near Garnett, Kansas. She accepted Christ in her youth and was a member of the Center Amish Mennonite Church. Fanny married Mervyn S. Yoder on May 12, 1955. He is left to mourn her passing, along with children May of Partridge, Kansas, Edith, married to Harry Shank of Partridge, Richard, married to Linda Graber of Kokomo, Indiana, Margarita Yoder of Lawrence, Kansas, Diane, married to Jimmy Smith of Pretty Prairie, Kansas, and Jacinda Yoder of Hutchinson, Kansas. She had 17 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. She is also survived by a brother, Irvin, married to Esther Yoder of Garnett, Kansas, sisters Emma Yoder of Garnett, Cora Miller of Melbourne, Kansas, and Miriam, married to Jerry Jackson of Adrian, Missouri, sisters-in-law Anne of Moses Lake, Washington, and Ida Yoder of Garnett, and a daughter-in-law, Kathy Yoder, married to her son, Ray, who passed away in 2005. Besides Ray, she was also preceded in death by her parents and brothers, Benedict, Joseph, and Ira Yoder. Fanny was a homemaker in every sense of the word, devoting her life to creating an inviting home for her husband and her children. In addition to the children born to them and taken in by adoption, Fanny cared for 9 foster children over the years. She and Mervyn were involved in prison ministry for many years, visiting many inmates in prison and investing in the lives of a number of them after their release. Fanny volunteered as a clerical assistant to Dr. Torrance in the Hutchinson Correctional Facility for 20 years. She worked at the Mennonite Friendship Retirement Community for many years, first in resident transportation, then as a dietary aide. Fanny was diagnosed with acute myelocytic leukemia on November 7. She was granted a number of rewarding weeks through regular blood or platelet transfusions, but on December 3, she chose to transition to hospice care. Her decline was rapid, but her end was peaceful. The family is grateful for the many expressions of caring from many friends during this difficult time. In Proverbs 31, it says that for the virtuous woman, her children will rise up and call her blessed. I believe so will her children's children. So her grandson Brian will come and share in the tribute and memories at this time.
The following is a compilation of memories gathered by the children and grandchildren, some of the children and grandchildren, as they shared them with me. To our dear grandma and mom, and for others, wife, sister, aunt, and friend, we miss you. We will continue to miss you in the coming days, weeks, and months as we experience the normal things again. But without you, they won't be normal. They'll be without the dear things that made you grandma, your infectious smile, your laugh, the way you always used your hands when you talked, your personal interest in your children and grandchildren's lives. There won't be any of your honey-cured ham at Christmas, none of your pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving. You won't be there to greet us with your how-de-do, the affectionate pat on the arm, along with a crinkly smile of delight. You really delighted in your family. We'll treasure our memories of you. Your children remember fondly the time you spent reading to them when they were young. They remember how you read all of the Christmas Carol Kaufman stories, and how each month, when the Harold de Voorhout magazine came, you would read to them the stories about Der Sami. Your grandchildren have memories of sleepovers at your house and the pancakes you would make the next morning. Memories of going to your house for babysitting, listening to Winnie the Pooh, and eating hot dogs for lunch. Memories of you coming to our place to husk corn, taking turns to go to the manor with you, to wheel residents out into the fresh air for a walk. Sometimes it included a trip to McDonald's for ice cream cones afterward. We remember the time you walked into our house mysteriously, holding Kiki behind your back, the chihuahua you had just acquired. Kiki provided much companionship and delight to you and others in your last weeks. When we think of you, Grandma, we think of your smile and your hearty laughter. Your granddaughters remember the day they helped you sort through some old dresses in the garage. They were amused by the old styles and layers of fabric. They bit their tongues, valiantly trying to suppress their giggles till you went inside to prepare lunch. In fact, they almost succeeded. But just before you reached the door, a mischievous little snicker scooted out, and soon they were giggling uncontrollably. Although you weren't sure what was so funny, you joined right in and laughed with them. We remember you, Grandma, as a lover of beauty. One aspect of this was your love for music. When your children were young, you would tuck them into bed at night and sit at the bottom of the stairs playing your harmonica. They also have fond memories of singing with you while working, hymns as well as silly songs. Schnitzing apples, snapping beans, or husking corn, any task could be made lighter with singing. You started a game with your children. One person would sing the first word of a song and the others would try to guess what the song was. If they couldn't, they would sing the first two words, and so on. Once the song was guessed, everyone sang it together. In later years, you acquired more musical instruments and learned to play the accordion as well as the organ. You delighted when your children or grandchildren tried their hand at it. On Thanksgiving Day, you spent most of the day on your recliner, too weak to get up much. But just before supper, you went out to the organ and played several hymns. Another aspect of your love for beauty was your love for birds. You always had the right feeders out for the birds of each season. Your children remember the wren house just outside the front door. You also had purple martin houses and a feeder for your favorites, the hummingbirds. You kept a cockatiel at your house that loved to sing. Recently, you taught it to whistle How Great Thou Art. At 11.05 p.m., the night you went home, the cockatiel sang How Great Thou Art. It was impossible to miss your love of flowers. You always planted lots of flowers and spent hours caring for them. Your garden contained at least as many flowers as food crops. I learned at a young age just how important your flowers were to you. One day, shortly after my birthday, I was out hunting for candidates on which to try my newly acquired handsaw. Noticing the tall, stout stems of your canna bulbs, I applied my blade and found them deliciously sliceable. Later, noticing the severed stems, you suggested I try my saw on other things. We remember you, Grandma, as a hard worker. In your years of working at the manor, you often surprised your co-workers and the residents, many of whom were younger than you, by your spryness. You pushed yourself to work right up till the day before you went to the doctor, even though you weren't feeling the best. None of us could have anticipated your sudden decline. We're still trying to wrap our minds around the fact that you won't soon be up again, bustling around like always. We remember you, Grandma, as a lover of God. Your stack of reading material always included a good variety of devotional books. At the time of your diagnosis on November 7, you were reading a devotional book by Sarah Young. The devotionals for the next several days were particularly timely and meaningful. As you and May read them together, you found special peace and strength in them. Your love for God spilled out into love for others, your family, foster children, inmates, nursing home residents, co-workers, and others. It was important to you that others come to know God, and you shared your faith freely. One time, you gave a CD to a young man that you worked with. He didn't seem very interested in it, but the next day he gave you one of his CDs. You promptly made a deal with him, agreeing to listen to his CD if he would listen to yours. Thank you, Grandma, for the love you shared with us. We especially treasure the ways you verbalized that love to your children and grandchildren in the weeks after your diagnosis. Your entire being radiated love, and we basked in it. Although we miss you, we're glad you are free from your pain and that you get to be with Jesus. We love you.
Will turn to day where the soul of man never dies. shines to light the shores of home where the soul of man never dies. Dear friends, now leave us and farewells as we not it in dance, where all is peace and joy and love and the soul of man never dies. My life will end in deathless sleep where the soul of man never dies, and everlasting joys are reaped where the soul of man never dies. Dear friends, leave us at farewells, there's we not it in dies, where all is peace and joy and love and the soul of man never dies. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul of man never dies, where there will be no parting hand and the soul of man never dies. Dear friends, there be no sad farewells, there's be no tear dim dies, where all is peace and joy and love and the soul of man never dies.
Greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I'm on my way to that fair land where the soul never dies. Praise God for that. Is that where you are headed? We believe that's where Fanny is. No, there are two destinies, a place where the soul will never die and a place where there's eternal dying for the soul. This morning we can ask the question, death, is it a positive or a negative? Positive or negative, death? I'm not sure how you answer that question this morning. As we think about death, it is a result of the fall of man. Man sinned, and the sentence was death. And so it's a part of the curse, but it's also a blessing that we do not have to live in these bodies eternally. And so in that aspect, we say death is a positive. It's a blessing that we don't have to live in these frail bodies forever. Appreciated that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Those are strong arms. They're not arms that are shaky and wobbly and we're not sure if they're strong enough to hold us, but they are arms that are secure. We can lean on during hard times. They're steady. This morning, I'd just like to look briefly at God's plan for man. When God created man, he created him in his own image. Created them man and woman in the image of God. He desired relationship with mankind. And when God created man and he created everything else, he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden and instructed man, don't eat of this fruit, because if you eat, you will die. We know the story how Satan came in the form of a serpent and deceived Eve, and she gave to Adam as well. They took of that fruit, they ate. It was a sin that erected a barrier to the relationship they had with God. Did they die that day? Yes, they did. There was a spiritual death that took place that day. The physical, no, they lived for quite a number of years, but the dying process was in place. And as they had children, they were born with this nature, this tendency to do wrong. In the Old Testament, we have these repeated reminders of someday one will come to defeat this enemy of our souls, this deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, the devil. And he will break down this barrier that separates us from God. And we know that this barrier was broken down through Jesus Christ. I'd like for all of us to repeat John 3:16 together, just the story of salvation in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We praise God for that promise that we don't need to perish, but we can have everlasting life. And the next verse says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If we read further, it talks how those who believe don't have condemnation, but those who don't believe are condemned already. But the purpose for the coming of Jesus was not to condemn. It was to rescue, to save. That was his focus. And in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All of us have been born with this sin nature. There is this tendency to do wrong. No one has to tell me how to lie. Why? Because we're born with this nature that tends to do wrong at times. No one had to tell me how to get angry. I'm sure I was angry before I ever remember being angry. But it's part of that nature within us to get angry. And we need help. And when we continue to live in sin, we earn death. That's the wages of sin. But we cannot earn eternal life. So what is the option? Salvation comes as a gift. It's something that we have to accept. We cannot earn it. God wants to give us a new nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says he wants us to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's a gift. Now, when we're offered a gift, there are several responses that we have options to. Especially for you women, if you are used to doing all your bread baking, you're mixing the dough by hand, and your cookie dough, you mix it by hand. It's a lot of work, especially as that dough gets stiffer, you add more flour, it's work. And if someone would come to your house one day and offer you a brand new Bosch mixer, you can have a variety of responses. One is you can say, well, thank you, I accept it. And I take it in and I put it on the shelf and we leave it there and we don't use it. Doesn't make any difference to how we bake bread, make cookies. Or we may respond with, no thanks, I'm satisfied with the way I'm doing it. I really don't need it. Not a problem. Or we can say, accept it with gratefulness and thankfulness. We put it on the counter, we plug it in, and we utilize it. and realize it makes a difference. It's a lot easier. We don't have to work quite as hard anymore. How we respond to the Bosch mixer really isn't that important. But as we look at the gift that God wants to give to us, it is important how we respond to that. Some people seem to accept it in a polite manner, thank you, and we take it in and we put it on the shelf, but it really doesn't make any difference on how we live. That's not a good option. Or some people say, no, thank you. I like my life of sin. I want to continue in this way. And God allows us to choose that, and we go on our way. Or we can sense our need of something different, and we say, yes, Lord Jesus, I accept you. I believe in you as the Son of God. We believe with our heart, and it makes a difference on how we live. We access his grace. And we can experience eternal life. Our response to that offer of salvation determines the end reward once we lie in the casket. When Fanny heard the diagnosis of leukemia, she could respond with calmness and peace because of prior choices that allowed the grace of God to work in her life. Brian, in his memories, alluded to some of the devotionals that meant quite a bit to Fanny after she was diagnosed, and I have her devotional book, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence by Sarah Young. And I'd like to just read a few of those devotionals this morning, and I think you will understand why it meant a lot to her and to May and the family. It wasn't just a change for Fanny. This impacted the family, impacted friends. I'm going to be reading two of the devotionals. The one was on November 9th, a day or two after the diagnosis. It's written in first person tense, where Jesus is speaking. Sit quietly with me, letting all your fears... I'm sorry, I wanted to read November 8th one. Learn to appreciate difficult days. Be stimulated by the challenges you encounter along your way. As you journey through rough terrain with me, gain confidence from your knowledge that together we can handle anything. This knowledge is comprised of three parts: your relationship with me, promises in the Bible, and past experiences of coping successfully during hard times. Look back on your life and see how I have helped you through difficult days. If you are tempted to think, yes, but that was then, and this is now, remember who I am. Although you and your circumstances may change dramatically, I remain the same throughout time and eternity. This is the basis of your confidence. In my presence, you live and move and have your being. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, this is NIV version, NIV. So do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 102:27. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. And then on November 11th, another devotional. Do not let any set of circumstances intimidate you. The more challenging your day, the more of my power I place at your disposal. You seem to think that I empower you equally each day, but this is not so. Your tendency upon awakening is to assess the difficulties ahead of you, measuring them against your average strength. This is an exercise in unreality. I know what each of your days will contain, and I empower you accordingly. The degree to which I strengthen you on a given day is based mainly on two variables: the difficulty of your circumstances and your willingness to depend on me for help. Try to view challenging days as opportunities to receive more of my power than usual.
Look to me for all that you need, and watch to see what I will do. As your day, so shall your strength be. Ephesians 1:18 through 20. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may hope, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Psalm 105:4, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And as Fanny was facing the fact that life is terminal, it won't last very long, these devotionals meant a lot to her. Here at church in Sunday school, we're going through the book of Hebrews. And it brings out the superiority of Jesus Christ over the types and shadows of the Old Testament. In last Sunday's lesson in Hebrews 6, verse 18, it brings out the sureness of God's promises and how Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of these promises, that in the promise to Abraham that in thy seed shall all the earth be blessed. And so we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And that is a hope that Fanny had, an anchor, a hope that was like an anchor for the soul, an anchor that gives stability, security. And when this storm came, the news that death is coming, she could face it with calmness because she had that hope, she had that anchor for her soul. In Vines, the definition for hope, a confident expectation, the happy anticipation of good. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you in with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope, he is the author of hope. You take God out of the picture, and there is no hope. But we keep God right central in the picture, and we have a strong hope, a hope that is an anchor for our soul. I'd like to read a medley of scripture. It was given Fanny's Bible, and she highlighted a number of the Psalms, and I'd like to just read a medley of psalms here, starting with Psalm 23, and when the family was together this morning, they heard comments about that psalm. I won't be making many comments, mostly just reading. In paging through her Bible, it looked like she had an old highlighter some time ago. I'm not sure how long ago, but it looks like she got a fresh highlighter not terrible long ago, and it's bright yellow again. And so I picked from verses that are the bright yellow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. A lot of these psalms were psalms that were an expression of trust, of God is good, he's a safe one, where we can place our confidence in. And I was blessed as I read those psalms. Just again reminding us that God is good, and everything that truly is good has its origin in God. To the family, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of comfort, he is the author of it. And when comfort comes, it has to come from God. And so our prayer for you is that you can experience that comfort. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we are grateful that you are sovereign. Thank you that you, everything that is good comes from you. You are the author of hope, the author of comfort. And Lord, we want to keep you in the center so that we can experience that hope and comfort. This morning we want you to be honored and glorified. Draw our hearts to yourself. And Lord, just thank you for the way that you have provided death so that we do not need to live in these bodies forever. And I just pray that we would all be ready so that when you call us to yourself through death, that we can say, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm ready to meet you. Thank you for the plan of salvation that you have provided redemption through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dwight, for those words of comfort and hope. After several announcements and prayer, there will be a final viewing, paying our last respects, followed by the burial in the West Center Cemetery. You are all invited to join the family in a fellowship meal following the service. If you are not planning to go to the cemetery, you may simply wait, and the meal, you'll be notified when the meal is ready, which will probably be shortly. Shall we bow for prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been present here. We thank you that you, our High Priest, understand the feelings that we face. And we just ask now that you would just in a special way envelop the family and each one in a special sense of your closeness and nearness in this time. I ask, Lord, also that you would help us as a community and as a church body to provide the kind of support that will be necessary to face the adjustments and changes that are coming. We know that you are able and that you will provide day by day, and we trust you that you will provide, and just now we ask you to provide in this time for your praise and for your glory through Jesus. Amen. We'll turn the service over to those in charge.
soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Lord. sweet rest is remaining for the true children of God, where there will be no complaining, never a chasing rod. Oh, soul of the soul,
glory land, there to sing God's praise. mighty host thou stand just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see just over in the glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be just over in the glory. Shout and sing just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. A joyous join the happy angel band just over in the glory land.
Must be sweet all the and longing to go to fair heaven, to be with the happy and free, to spend long ages in singing how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet o'er the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary, how beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there on the beautiful sea.